May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention,
please?
Good afternoon,
and welcome to Attention, Please. We at KPTZ present Attention, Please, to illustrate the good work being done to build community in Eastern Jefferson County and wherever else around the world that KPTZ is heard. I'm Phil Andrus. Joining me for this edition of Attention, Please is Shelley Levins, formerly the Executive Director of the Jefferson County Historical Society, and now the Communication and Marketing Manager for the City of Port Townsend. Shelley has been on the air with me a whole bunch of times, but not in her new position. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
How's your life these days?
Woo! It's great. Things are great.
Catching up, keeping up?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you wrote, we should talk about travel, gardening, storytelling, raising a kid, adventures you're dreaming of, but not work. And the work you meant was not your current job because you're just getting started.
That's right.
And I said, pretty much that will be what we'll do, but I may just ask you about that somewhat. As I became aware of what you brought, this was something that did not take very long to the Historical Society, probably a month into getting to know you. I thought you probably would be with us for a while here, and you would be upwardly mobile to a big city, another historical society, another museum. Certainly not stepping out of the historical society world altogether, and you've totally surprised me. So why? Why this change? Why did you leave the historical society? And what's attractive to you about working for the city in a job that doesn't seem to have any history in it whatsoever?
Well, I love the element of surprise. That makes me happy that it was surprising. That's always a good thing, I think, when we can keep people on their toes. Gosh, let's see. I kind of want to go back to sort of the reference to this idea of like wanting to talk about things other than work that you touched on just a minute ago. You know, right when I got the job at the Historical Society, being a newcomer in the community in, you know, a visible community leadership position, I got a lot of requests to come talk to groups, share. People wanted to get to know me, I felt like, but they also wanted to hear my perspective on all the things that were amazing or could be different at, you know, in the new space that I was in. And the same thing is happening now in terms of taking on a new position in the community. And I love people's curiosity about that. But I feel like I approached the Historical Society position and my current position in pretty similar ways. And that is always to listen first and pull back from sort of my own kind of thoughts or perceptions about what something could be or should be, and really listen and let things happen in a much more natural and vulnerable way. And so I guess I wanted to say that just because I'm really excited about my new position, and that's where storytelling comes in, and really the thread in between so many of the things that I've done in my life. When we make a big life transition, like changing a career pretty significantly, I've found those transition moments are really amazing moments to reflect and to take time to reflect. So I've been doing a lot of that. Sometimes it's in the middle of the night and sometimes it's in a healthier time of day. But storytelling is such a constant thread. And I feel so excited about that. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I get a thrill coming in here into this studio, because I think about the storytelling that happens on the air, on the radio, and how powerful that is. We have so many different mediums to tell stories and share those stories with each other. I have chills now just thinking about how exciting that is to be able to stay within what might be called a line of work like that. It feels like an incredible privilege. And I'm just so lucky that I get to do it here in a community that I have just come to adore and feel just deeply rooted in even just a short time. We've only been here 5 years and I feel really, really committed to this community.
It has been that long.
Just 5 years. It's not very long.
It may seem like a long time. It seems to me like I met you just yesterday.
Yeah.
So that shows you how quickly 5 years can go. It's interesting that you're talking about storytelling in the context of a marketing manager. I would like you to draw that. I was not intending to talk about your new job. I told you that. I also told you that we never know what directions these conversations will go. So how does your new job involve storytelling? I presume not tall tales, but telling somewhat the truth.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, when I talk about storytelling, I'm talking about sort of some of the same ideas around public interpretation that I was doing when I was a park ranger, you know, way before museums were really even the apple of my eye. But a lot of that work is about, it's about public education around making, you know, sometimes very complex concepts or processes or ideas understandable to the public, or have it helping the public get involved in some conversations that they might not otherwise have access to. Storytelling allows for relevance. So it allows people an access point where they can see themselves as part of that story often. That was a lot of the work at the museum. It was, you know, starting off, how and why is a historical society in, at the time, 2018, why is this relevant to anyone? Like, why is a building full of 500,000 objects and archives relevant to anyone in this community? And thinking through that with a team of amazing people, I mean, of course, I was not alone in that work. That's what I mean by storytelling. I mean, involving people and their stories and interweaving them together so that they all make sense, that people can see themselves on this amazing and very long continuum of community.
5 years ago, you came here. Maybe you did, and maybe you did not know how you would respond to living in a small town. It appears you've responded quite favorably, and now, in a way, you're going to be in a position of explaining it and maybe even selling it to other people. Explain the transition. Are you surprised to find yourself where you are now?
Gosh, I maybe less so surprised and more just feeling really fortunate in many ways. You know, when I made the decision that it was time for me to move on from the Historical Society, it was fraught with worry that I wouldn't be able to stay, that me and my family would not be able to stay here because we love it so much. And, you know, a lot of our community conversations are around the livability and affordability of our community, right? That is an active, robust conversation that's happening. And so when you make a career transition like this, some of the questions that come to mind are, will I find work here that makes sense for me as a human being and the unique skills and the learning that I want to do, right? So it's partly about what I can provide. And it's also a huge part of my decision was about what can I learn? And so, you know, I'm sure other folks, maybe even listeners, have grappled with this. When you're looking for work and you live in a small town, in sort of, I don't really like this phrase, to be honest, but like this day and age, we're in a time when remote work is more than possible. And so weighing and considering the remote work opportunities, working potentially for organizations or businesses that aren't really based in this community, but allow you to stay as a community member, or working in a space that is not remote, that is in person, working with teams in person. And so those were all of the things I was grappling with, trying to figure out how do we stay, because that was a really high priority. And I feel really fortunate that I was able to find a position that's still closely aligned with where I want to learn, where I want to lean in, allows me to be really integrated into the community's work. And the other really exciting thing that I found about this transition was that I actually get to keep working with a ton of the same people that I already was working with. Like, those relationships, I feel like I still get to hang out with a lot of the same people, like Mari Mullen at Main Street, or a bunch of people on the LTAC committee at the city. I've worked with them in a number of ways over time. Just, yeah, all these same kind of awesome people in our community, I still get to hang out with.
Mindful of the fact that there could be tender feelings here and maybe some political considerations. Nevertheless, I really must ask you, why did you decide to leave the Historical Society when, at least in my eyes, you were really marvelous in that position? And from the standpoint of our working experience with KPTZ, it's great to have you there.
Oh, yeah, amazing. I loved our partnership. I feel really confident that that partnership will continue. I hope it will. I can't speak for KPTZ, but I know from the museum side, the Holiday Extravaganza is a beloved event. If there are any listeners out here that don't know what the Holiday Extravaganza is, it's an annual holiday moment where the doors of the museum are flung open and KPTZ just schedules tons of interviews and music in the gallery. And it just comes alive in a way. And yeah, just the acoustics in the space are kind of unique and beautiful, and it's wonderful. So,
but you decided to leave the Historical Society, and that was the question primarily.
Yes, exactly. But I think where I was going to with part of that answer is that some of my goals around when I was working those 5 years at the Historical Society were to build really lasting relationships. Really lasting partnerships and collaborations, so that some of the integral changes that occurred at the Historical Society, again, around relevance and the vibrancy that can happen even at a history museum, which might surprise some people, but that those things are not about me. Right? They're not about Shelley being the leader and driving this. They're about the organization being in a really healthy, solid place and with this springboard to launch into a new project, which we're calling the New Jefferson Museum, which is very much underway. We've got this incredible advisory group that's formed now that are informing the process. There's going to be all kinds of ways for the community to get involved and provide input. And this is going to completely transform the visitor experience in the historic City Hall Museum. But as you and other listeners probably know, the Historical Society is much more than this one building or this one, you know, exhibit experience. There's the Rothschild House, there's the Research Center, there's the Commanding Officers' Quarters, and we're in transition to kind of pass along the Visitor Center out on Highway 19 to the Tourism Coordinating Council. So there were 5 total sites that we were managing. We saw a lot of really good staff growth. There was this combination at the time around this decision of feeling like I personally was ready to move on and explore different kinds of work, as I just, you know, sort of illuminated around my interest in constant personal growth and learning. I've worked in the museum sector for about a little over 20 years, and it really felt like time for the museum to have a fresh perspective and time for me to explore other ways that I could kind of exercise some of my ideas in a different space.
So I have some sense of you as a person and some sense of your interests. When I read of, I'm a member, I get the newsletters. When I read of the expansion, the rebuilding, building of a new museum, I thought, massive capital campaign, massive fundraising. And even before you resigned, I thought, well, is this something that Shelley is going to really want? Is this something that Shelley wants to have define her life for the next 5 or 10 years? And my inkling of a thought to myself was probably not. And then when I saw that you had resigned, I thought, maybe that's partially why.
Yeah, Phil, you're not entirely incorrect. I wouldn't say, like, fundraising was definitely something that I needed to grow into as the executive director. A capital campaign of that size, absolutely. It's a very time-consuming and ideally takes, you know, full dedication from the entire team, all eyes and focus on making it happen for it to be successful. Yeah, you know, I think that, again, like I said, like the timing of the launch of the campaign, the launch of the New Jefferson Project, just felt like with someone who had more experience or...
And loved that kind of work.
And just found a lot of joy in doing that level of fundraising, that might be a better fit for someone in that position. So I think you're absolutely right. Fundraising was definitely not the entire reason. I think it's that the donors to the museum are amazing. They're just, Kate would probably say many of the, you know, when we were thinking about our capital campaign, I had a meeting with Kate here at the studio and just talk to her about just like, how did you go about it? What did you do? How much did you raise? How did it all work? And she just shared these moments where people just stepped up. They just walked in with a big check and said, I believe in what you're doing. And that is so powerful. And we see that at the Historical Society too. We see our donors showing up for us in incredible ways. And that is joyful right there. That is amazing. But that's not every day. There's a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes to keep it all running.
You have a son and a husband, and I don't know how they felt about coming to a place, Port Townsend, wherever the world that is. Your son now is 5 years older, probably around 10 years old now, perhaps?
He's 8 and a half.
Yeah, I'm close enough. How do they feel about being here, about learning that apparently they're going to be staying here, that the best soccer teams or basketball teams are someplace else? Yeah. How do they feel about this decision that you made, I'm sure, with their consultation, but it sounds like also with your own interests in mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are more than thrilled. A lot of the decision to stay, of course, is based on the reason we came. So we lived in Seattle for 13 years. And when we had my son in 2014, it was pretty shortly thereafter that we had a different vision for the way that we wanted his upbringing. And a smaller community was tops on the list. That was a big reason to move here. And we already knew some folks that had kids in the community when we moved here and really believed in their judgment, certainly. And it's come true. You know, the things that we had hoped for in terms of him being able to walk down a small path in between our neighborhoods and see if his friends are out in their front yard playing, and us feeling like he's getting just, you know, he was at Swan School for the entire really intense part of the beginning of the pandemic, those first two years, and just outside every day in all weather, learning with his peers in outdoor classrooms. And that is exactly what I mean about this being what we were hoping for, because those are the values of the community, right? And that's how it shows up. So absolutely, I think my husband is thriving here. He has a business doing hardscaping and cedar fences for folks in town, and he's got a long, long list of clients. He's thriving, and we're just getting into that moment of, you know, that season of when you just want to just take off your shoes and head to the beach at the end of the day, and all our friends are there, and it's just incredible. So we're so, so happy to stay.
So it's my life story. It sounds like it's my family's life story. It sounds like it's much the same as yours and many others, where the woman in the family has the straight job with the hours and the benefits, and the husband has the job that involves a bit more freedom, probably a private business, personal business like my own, and we manage somehow, but we manage on less money than we would be managing on in the city. Do you ever give thought to the income opportunities that you're giving up by staying here?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, when I was looking for a new position, like I mentioned before, right? I mean, there were remote work opportunities that, yeah, just like significantly higher income. But yeah, no, that, you know, it ultimately didn't feel right in the end. And sure, but any decision you make comes with its compromises. I don't think there's one decision that I can think of that doesn't have some sort of compromise. And I just can't express enough how fortunate we feel. When we moved here, we were able to purchase a home in the community, right? And we've slowly been transforming that into a veggie patch that produces all kinds of amazing things, and chickens, and just like a little homestead. And I just can't imagine anything else, honestly.
I wouldn't want John Morrow to hear me say this, but I should imagine that your job at the Historical Society was a good bit more than 9 to 5 or 40 hours a week. You'll probably be working a bit more than that sometimes for the city, but it is a job that defines itself better than being the executive director of a nonprofit. I would think that would weigh heavily, too, on your decision.
For sure. I think one of the things about leading a nonprofit, you're right, is, you know, you don't really get to turn it off, or at least I had a hard time doing that. I had a hard time finding that balance. I was always thinking about how to keep us thriving and sustainable. Yeah, I would say it was much more than a 9-to-5. I think the other thing, really specifically to museum work or program-based work, and I would bet, you know, the folks at the Maritime Center or the Marine Science Center or the other kind of program, Northwind, or any kind of program-based nonprofit work, is that you're often doing those programs in the evenings or on the weekends because you want to make them accessible to the broadest number of folks. So that means that you're showing up there at night on the weekends, right? Of course. And city staff are not immune to that, right? Because city staff also want to make their work accessible to the broadest number of people. And public meetings are often held, right? We know our city council meetings are held in the evenings, and it is my intention to attend those. And so, you know, nonprofit work and public service have a lot in common. There are some differences. I found myself kind of analyzing quite a bit of that now, since I've pretty much only worked in nonprofits up to this point. This is the first position I've held within government. And so, yeah, there's lots of, the wheels are kind of turning around the analysis of how these are similar or different. And that's been kind of fun to think through those.
So let's talk history. And I mean history as in Shelley the historian here.
Okay.
We are in a place, Port Townsend. There is a bit of Port Townsend exceptionalism. And it is, maybe every place is in some small or large way exceptional. But still, Port Townsend and Jefferson County, maybe, if this is something one can really say with correct grammar, more exceptional than most. If that is the case, what is it about the history? How did we come to be this way here? From as far back as you care to reach. A place where when Shelley Levins comes here in 2018, she realizes this is a place she wants to stay because of qualities about it. How did Port Townsend and Jefferson County come to have the qualities that you appreciate and that make you want to be here and have your family here and raise your son here?
It's an interesting question. You know, how culture shifts and evolves over time is something that I think people have and will always analyze and wonder about. It's not formulaic. It's not necessarily quantitative, right? It's not like something, data that you can like really map out, because it's about humans. It's about people and how they've shaped a place and changed it. And that is the one constant of history. Change is the constant through time. And so how a place changes is determined by the people that are there, or the people that aren't there, probably both. And I think so much of what shapes people broadly, as well as here, is Mother Earth, the natural environment all around us. You know, many artists have written about that the Pacific Northwest has a particular kind of light that they desire, that they seek out, that informs their work. I think you could probably look at almost any sector or, you know, space that people occupy in our community, and they might say something else about the unique facet that holds them here. But geographically, I think that that's a big piece of what makes this place really extraordinary and special. And, you know, we're inextricably tied to that. We can't walk through this world separated from it. It informs everything that we do, or at least I think it should. The natural world should tell us so much about how we move forward as a community. We can learn so much from it. And I think maybe the people living here have listened a little more closely, have been a little more tuned in to those rhythms. And maybe that's part of what we see.
Shelley Levins, I have, as you've seen before, I have pages of notes to ask you, but you've come to almost a really fine conclusion, but not quite, because I want to ask you, knowing that you have a history in radio, that you have been the host of a radio show in Seattle, whether you might be adding to the fun things that you do, your garden, your chickens, your son. What's your son's name?
Oz. Ozzy.
Why did you choose that name?
Well, his full name is Osric, and we had some friends who I think were done having children. They had three or something, and we were thinking about names. I was pregnant, and we were kind of, I wanted a very strong Scandinavian name, like Torbjorn or something like that. And my husband was less interested in that. And so we were kind of just poking around for names. And they said, you know, if we were going to have another child, we would name him Osric. And we were like, what? We had never heard that name before. Looking into it, it's this really old English name that has just fallen out of use. And it's stuck in the strange way that things do, you know? And we just kept coming back to it. And so it became his name.
So now we know about Osric. Now we don't know about KPTZ and Shelley. Maybe one day you will be heard on the air.
I would love that. I said at the beginning, I love radio. It's so, so cool. And the show that I had in Seattle was called Total Recall. It was at a low power station called Hollow Earth Radio. And I didn't have it for very long, but Hollow Earth was just getting rolling. And they were really open to just kind of any ideas that folks wanted to bring in to the station. And so the premise behind my show was interviewing folks. I kind of had an age thing around like that they were 70 or older. So basically that they had lived a long time on this planet and had all kinds of amazing stories and knowledge to share. And so I interviewed them on the radio or in their homes if they needed me to come to them. And just, it was like a storytelling hour from our elders. And it was wonderful. So yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm sure KPTZ has goals around programming, just like any other community organization. And yeah, having a show on the radio would delight me.
I will
someday.
Tell you for sure that should you get serious about really something that you've done before and want a little place to put it, and if Sunday nights are agreeable to you, then I know a show on Sunday nights that will make room for you.
Ooh.
Yes, that's the one called Cats in Our Laps, and it's the one that I host. So before I say goodbye to you and we hear the last from you, I need to say that Attention Please is aired on Monday at noon and at 5 and on Saturday at noon and is posted on the KPTZ podcast page under Attention Please immediately after the first broadcast on Monday. Send your questions and comments about this edition of Attention Please to Cats, C-A-T-S, at kptz.org. I asked Shelley to choose a piece of music to take us to the next show on KPTZ, and she has chosen...
I've chosen This Fractured Mind by Brooklyn-based Nation of Language. And they're playing tonight in Seattle, and we're going to their show, and I'm really excited.
You are really excited, and thank you for the musical selection, and thank you for joining me on Attention Please, and thank you for sticking around this community.
Thank you so much, Phil. It's been my pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
KPTZ in Port Townsend.